Barton's relationship with ExxonMobil was strong. In the years after the Mobil merger, Barton received more money from the ExxonMobil Political Action Committee than any other member of Congress, a total of $46,399. In general, ExxonMobil's K Street crew appreciated the Texas congressman's pro-market philosophy. In 2005, however, Barton had been infuriated when Lee Raymond and Dan Nelson, the ExxonMobil Washington office chief, declined to support a deal Barton had proposed to Dingell and other lawmakers to pass comprehensive energy legislation of the sort originally contemplated by Vice President Cheney's Energy Task Force, but which had proved politically elusive during the first Bush term. One element of the 2005 deal was a prospective agreement by Congress to absolve oil companies from certain legal liabilities arising from spills of gasoline containing MTBE. The deal was proposed just a year before ExxonMobil's disastrous spill of MTBE-laden gasoline at its gas station in Jacksonville, Maryland. In exchange for legal protection, ExxonMobil and other oil companies would contribute to a $4 billion fund to pay nationwide MTBE cleanup costs. Barton thought he was close to an agreement to ensure payments to the fund, but Chevron, ExxonMobil, and the American Petroleum Group balked. On the decisive weekend of negotiations, ExxonMobil's representatives, led by Dan Nelson, declared that the bill was just too much of a Washington mess for the corporation to support. Lobbyists for the major oil companies later said they had warned Barton that they would not pay more than $1.5 billion into the proposed cleanup fund. In any event, Barton was unhappy. He pulled all provisions for MTBE protections from the final bill and later issued a public letter protesting Lee Raymond's retirement package. "While we respect the right of corporations in America to set compensation packages as they see fit, it is hard to understand how, in light of most Americans paying nearly $3 per gallon at the pump, your board of directors can justify such an exorbitant payout." In 2008, as the lobbying fight over DINP and rubber ducks loomed, ExxonMobil needed Joe Barton again. Whether the final toy safety bill contained a Europe-inspired phthalate ban was a question that would now fall to Dingell and Barton. In 2007, after Democrats retook majority control of the House of Representatives, Dingell had ascended again to chair the Energy and Commerce Committee. Barton had returned to the role of ranking member, the committee's senior Republican. Because of the toy legislation's subject matter, members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee would staff the conference to determine the bill's final compromises. In theory, Dingell could go his own way without including Barton, and then try to rely on the Democratic majority in the House to prove the final bill. But once the conference opened in June 2008, Dingell insisted that Barton sign off on the phthalate issue, whatever the final compromise turned out to be. Dingell was an old-school legislator who believed in the innate value of agreements that made nobody happy and preferred, when possible, to work across the aisle. Also, ExxonMobil had supported Dingell over the years with steady campaign contributions. The corporation lobbied him and Barton simultaneously on the phthalate question. In any event, it would be better for Dingell if he had Barton's political cover on any final decision that favored ExxonMobil. The Senate bill's phthalate provisions had effectively been written by two California liberals importing European regulations. Dingell told his staff as the talks began that he would go along with whatever compromise Barton endorsed, but they had to keep the Texas Republican on board, or there would be no deal. Barton, for his part, announced through his staff that he was simply not prepared to accept a ban on DINP in children's toys. "You're going to have to roll me," Barton told Dingell at one bicameral meeting. "My friend," Dingell replied, "I don't want to have to do that." The stalemate took hold as summer descended. It was the Capitol's humid swamp season. ExxonMobil's Washington lobbying crew moved through Capitol Hill, seeking out the conferees and their staff. One Democratic lawyer on the staff of an Energy and Commerce member recalled six old white guys in gray suits who came to her office to hand out PowerPoints about phthalates. The essence of their presentation was, "DINP is not dangerous," she recalled, and that they didn't want DINP singled out. The ExxonMobil lobbyists carried props designed to win the attention of young Capitol Hill staffers. iPod earbuds, which are made of materials softened by DINP. The message was that phthalates are not harmful, recalled Valerie Barron, an Energy and Commerce Committee staffer who heard the briefings. And they're in so many things, what would we even do without them? What would you do without your iPod headphones? The Senate bill banned 6 phthalates outright, but DINP was the one that was most in play during the conference negotiations, recalled a staffer involved in trying to write a final agreement. ExxonMobil's strategy focused heavily on presenting the history of scientific studies and risk analysis of phthalates to emphasize that the evidence about DINP was far from definitive. The conference unfolded as a series of hours-long meetings among staff in various congressional committee rooms. The group alternated among committee rooms in the House office buildings along Independence Avenue, the Senate office buildings to the north of the Capitol, and inside the Capitol itself. The way we got started was literally putting the two bills, the House bill and the Senate bill, side by side on the table and trying to marry the two together, paragraph by paragraph, section number by section number, a participant recalled. On the phthalates paragraphs, however, Barton's orders to his staff were clearly not to budge. The consumer groups hauled out their big duck. We actually stood outside on the steps, lobbying the old-fashioned way, flanked by the 25-foot inflatable, Liz Hitchcock recalled. Our strategy was to keep saying, will Congress listen to Exxon or America's kids? The more we could say that, the more we could keep talking about Exxon, the better.